Well, how about that to kick off a brand new year here at CrossFit? Anybody excited about brand new year 2022? Anybody? Okay. I mean, honestly, it feels weird to say 2022, right? I mean, Eric, you're talking about 1999, a song written in the 80s, and I won't say much more about that song because I don't know it, honestly. So, hey, my name is Chris. Great to meet you. Thanks for joining us here at CrossPoint this weekend. Campus pastor, a brand new campus that is coming to Westfield that Eric spoke about later on this year. So excited to be kicking off the new year here with you. And now I'm really excited about this brand new series, Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets, as we really kick off 2022. And if you're anything like me, making better decisions and really having fewer regrets would be a win for this year, right? I mean, it would be a win for you. It would be a win for all the people around you as well. And I think that we would all love a chance to walk through this year with fewer regrets. And now the big idea that we're going to be going after in this series, and really over the next 5 weeks, it's this often overlooked relationship between good questions and good decisions. Between good questions and good decisions. See, good questions, they set us up to make good decisions. And in some way, our decisions, they're really no better than the questions that we ask before we make those decisions. So in this series, we're going to give you five questions. Five questions that you can ask right now in the process of making a decision. Maybe you've got a big decision on the road ahead of you. Maybe this year has got lots of big decisions marked out in front of you. These five questions will help you with every single one of these, whether it's financial or relational, professional, academic, wherever it might be. I'm convinced that these questions have the chance to shape your life, to shape your relationships, your parenting, your career for the better. And now I think that we would all agree that better is always better, right? I mean, it's always good to be better. And when we ask ourselves the right questions and when we answer them honestly, and then we act appropriately based on how we answered the question honestly, then we set ourselves up for better. But you might be sitting there thinking, you know, joining us at home right now, thinking like, what are the questions? Because I would love to make better decisions. I would love to live with fewer regrets. But what are these questions that I need to be asking? And back to that video clip that got us started. I mean, here's a disturbing thought that I'd like to help get us kicked off this brand new year at CrossPoint. It's this, that the easiest person to deceive is the person in the mirror. Right? I mean, kind of like what he's saying there. Like, I wake up and I lie to myself. I lie to myself. And maybe you're feeling this. Like, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know if I can keep doing this. And the easiest person to deceive is the person looking back at you in the mirror. And it shouldn't be this way. And we'll talk about why it is that way in just a minute. But for a moment, I just want to help let you kind of dig into this a little bit more. I kind of want to rub this in just a little bit. Let's think about this together. You have been there. You have been there. You have decided yourself into, you have sold yourself on every single bad decision that you have ever made. I mean, you were a part of it. You were right there in the midst of it. You were talking yourself into it maybe at times. You were deceiving yourselves into it. I mean, you were right there. And worse yet, you're the mastermind. You are the mastermind behind your most regrettable experiences in life, your most regrettable decisions, whether they're financial or relational or in your academics world or in your personal and professional life. I mean, you were there for every single one of those decisions. You've personally done more to undermine yourself and your progress and your potential and your future than anyone else in your life. And now, granted, there were outside pressures. There were other voices there. There were maybe people promising you things, but in the end, you decided. And the reason that I know this, and the reason that I know this so well is because I've decided. I mean, I made the choices. I've done it myself. I mean, there's this sales associate that lives between my ears, and he's kind of funny. You know, he sounds just like me. I will say, though, his sales pitches are pretty amateur. I mean, his tone, the way he takes things, I mean, his logic, it's flawed, but I fall for them all the time. I mean, what is up with that? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with all of us? And really, to the point of today's message, what can we do about it? And so today, this is part one of this brand new series, Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. And like we spoke about earlier, good questions, they should help you lead into good decision making. And I'm convinced that if you ask these questions, if you answer honestly, if you act upon it, you will walk out this next year with better decisions. And you will live with fewer regrets. You will, your life will be better. The people who look to you, the people who depend on you, their lives will be better because your life is better, because you're making better decisions, because you are living with fewer regrets, because we aren't the only people that are impacted by our decisions, are we? I mean, I've got two little girls at home now, and I've got a three-week-old and a two-and-a-half-year-old, and I realize this more and more every single day, that they are a byproduct of my decisions, of my decision-making, of the things that I decide to do, that I choose to do. And now if you joined us maybe last week for the New Year's at Home service, anybody watch the New Year's at Home service last week? Anybody do the challenge out of the New Year's at Home service last week? Anybody remember this? Kurt, he gave us this challenge. He gave us a bit of homework to kind of kick off the New Year. He knew everybody was out of school, so Kurt wanted to give us homework. You can really thank him for that one. So he suggested that we memorize this saying from the book of Proverbs. It's actually Proverbs 27:12. And the reason for this homework assignment, it was simple. It was this simple saying from the book of Proverbs that it's going to remind us and help us to remember to think through what's coming, not just what we see around us right now. To consider the ultimate and not just the immediate outcome of our decisions. And here's the verse, in case you missed it. It's this: the prudent see danger. The prudent see danger and they take refuge, but the simple keep going and they pay the penalty. The prudent, these are the wise, they see danger and they do the appropriate thing in that moment. They take refuge, but the simple or the naive, they just keep going. They just ignore what they're seeing ahead of them and they pay the penalty because of it. And when we're deciding what to do, prudent people, wise people, they take into consideration the long-term results of whatever the options are in front of them. They take into consideration what could happen if I do this. If A is this, then what will B and what will C eventually be down the road? But the simple people, naive people, not so much. I mean, they continue to fall for the amateur sales pitches in between their ears. They opt for now instead of later and ultimate. And here's the thing. The five questions that we're going to discuss in this series, they will bring you into conflict with this sales associate, with this you know, a used car salesman that's maybe in between your ears. And they're going to come in conflict with this because that salesman inside of your head, he wants you to act fast. She wants you to act fast. She wants you to make a decision now, to focus on the immediate, to really choose right now and not think and not process and not wait and not think of the ultimate. And this verse, it can be a reminder, it should be a reminder to all of us to look at the potential danger ahead of us, to remember that there could be and there will be danger ahead. And so in those moments, we need to slow down. And so let's jump right in. The first of our five questions, question number one in this entire series, question number one is going to be what we're going to call the integrity question, the integrity question. And to introduce this question, we need to drop back to my opening statement about being observant, about that the person in the mirror is the one that's hardest or easiest to deceive. That really, you can't lead yourself well as long as you're lying to yourself, as long as you're deceiving yourself. And I don't know if you've ever heard this from like AA or NA. I have a friend that's led AA and NA groups for years, and he's talked to me about this rigorous honesty. It's the first rule of recovery. That it's the first step really to getting better and to making progress and to making better decisions, to avoiding unnecessary regret. You've got to tell yourself the truth. You have to tell yourself the truth, even if it makes you feel bad about yourself. Now what I'm going to say next, I understand it runs contrary to the grain of our culture, but I'm going to say it anyway. That there are worse things than feeling bad about yourself. There are absolutely worse things in the world than you feeling bad about yourself. And so make the best decision. You have to be honest with yourself, even if it makes you feel bad about yourself. Or to put it another way, you will never get to where you need to be until you acknowledge where you actually are right now. I'll say it again. You will never get where you need to be unless or until you acknowledge where you actually are. Your first step, it may be being honest with yourself about the fact that you're not always honest with yourself. You don't always tell yourself the truth, that you're oftentimes deceiving yourself in those moments when there's a decision on the horizon. And the first question of this series, the first question, this question, it's right here. It's this big decision. It's the integrity question. And it's simply this. It's simply this. Am I being honest with myself? Am I being honest with myself? Now, I think this question, I think it helps if you ask this question out loud. And really, these next five questions that we're going to talk about over this entire series, I think you'll be better off if you ask every single one of these questions out loud. And I think on the second run, when you ask this question, I think you should actually add a word. I think you should add the word really at the end. So I think it should actually look like this. Am I being honest with myself really? And the reason that we have to add this really at the end is because we are so prone to deceive ourselves. Like, why am I actually doing this really? Why am I avoiding that person really? Why did I purchase that thing? Why did I lease that thing really? Why won't I actually go and get help this time really? And here's the thing. You may not be good at selling anything to anybody else, but you're really good at selling yourself on something, right? I mean, I'm really good at selling myself on an idea or a thought or something that I want or feel like I need. And our greatest regrets, they're associated with things, with opportunities and people that we've sold ourselves on. I mean, just think back to your last, like, bad relationship decision. I mean, you were in love or whatever, right? I mean, it felt like maybe your mom was trying to warn you, like, hey, I don't know if that's the best idea. Your friends are like, hey, stay away from that guy, stay away from that girl. I think it's going to lead to danger, destruction. And now you just told them, like, no, everything's good, we're good, I got this, everything's under control. Like, why are you saying this? But you find yourself now looking back, thinking, what was I thinking? I mean, what was I thinking in those moments? What was I doing? Which is the problem here. And so here's just a little tip. In fact, if you don't remember anything else from the entire thing that we're going to talk about here over the next 15 minutes or so, I want you to remember this, that as soon as you start selling yourself on anything, you should hit pause. As soon as you start selling yourself on anything, you should just pause right there. And here's why. Because we rarely have to sell ourselves on a good idea. We rarely have to sell ourselves on a good decision. We usually just know. And so let's just decide to bring your narratives, bring your justifications, bring your excuses into the light and just tell yourself the truth. And when you do, you're going to make better decisions and you're going to live your life with fewer regrets. And now, if everything were equal, If we were, you know, kind of wired all the same to decide to do what's best for us, I mean, this would be really easy, right? We would just kind of wrap this up in a nice little bow. I would say, hey, just do that. Be honest with yourself. And hey, have a great week. We'll see you next week. But that's not actually the case. You know, we're really, it's just not natural for all of us. And now naturalists have an explanation for this. They have this explanation for why it's so difficult to tell ourselves the truth. And Christians, Jesus followers, actually have a different definition or explanation. But pretty much everybody agrees that we come into the world with this natural propensity on selling ourselves what we want to do rather than what we ought to do. Now, I don't know exactly how that plays out with a three-week-old baby. Like I said, I got a three-week-old baby at home right now. And I will say, about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, she decides, you know what? I want to be awake, and I don't want to go back to sleep. And so in my mind, it's like, no, you ought to go back to sleep. You know, that would be, if from my perspective, the right decision for this, you know, little tiny baby. But she wants to be awake. And so maybe that's what it is for these newborn, for, you know, this first beginnings of life. But from the very beginning, every single one of us, we want to sell ourselves on what we want to do, not always on what we ought to do. And this isn't like a recent observation. In fact, in the 17th century, there was this English philosopher. Maybe you've heard his name. His name was Francis Bacon. He made, great name, by the way, right? I mean, Francis Bacon, kick off 2022, that new diet. I mean, just thinking about bacon immediately, right? But he made this observation, and it's a little bit long. It's a little bit tedious. You know, he wrote in the 17th century, so like give it to him. I mean, he kind of wrote a little differently than we do. But here's what he said in his 17th century way of writing. He says that the human understanding, when it has once adopted an opinion, draws all things else to support and to agree with it. In other words, once we kind of come to what we want to do, once we've kind of made up our mind of what we want to do, we become a magnet for anything that supports that thing. Anything that supports that thing that we want to do. He goes on to describe really what today we call confirmation bias. That we are open to really anything that confirms what we already think and what we already want to do. And again, just think back to like your last bad financial decision or your last bad relational decision. I mean, you were warned, maybe people tried to talk to you and you just wouldn't listen. Or maybe it was more like you just couldn't listen. I mean, think back to that last bad purchase, right? I mean, it's so clear now, but in the moment, Francis was correct. I mean, once you've made up your mind, it's over. It's done with. And this has been going on for a really long time. And this observation, it's really helpful, but he doesn't really provide us on like what to do with it. But thankfully, about 2,500 years before Francis wrote these words, there's this Judean court advisor who turned into a prophet who made this really similar observation. And fortunately for us, he made a really helpful explanation on what to do with it. And the context of this observation, it's absolutely fascinating. Now, this is basically the entire book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, it's got like 50 plus chapters. If you want to read it yourself, you're absolutely welcome to. You can kind of read all of this. I kind of take all of it and condense it down into like 3 minutes, okay? So I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of the book of Jeremiah, of the prophet Jeremiah, of the moments and the observations that he's making to provide this context for us. And so around 600 BC, Jeremiah, who's the author of this book, Jeremiah, he served as pretty much like a professional coach. I mean, he was the court advisor to the kings of Judah. I mean, he was an incredibly important person. He was one that these Judean kings, their careers, they would have gone so much smoother. Their lives would have lasted so much longer had they just listened to the prophet Jeremiah. Had they just listened or taken his advice. But of course, the advantage of being king, and especially the advantage of being king as a teenager, like most of these guys were, is that they don't have to take anyone's advice. Now, ancient Judah was essentially like the bottom half of what we consider today to be the Holy Land. And so that's where this story is taking place. And Jeremiah, he's beginning his coaching career with this young king, Jehoiakim. And he was a teenager at the time. And as the king, he had this tribute, this financial tribute that he was supposed to be paying to the Babylonian Empire. And I don't know if you know much about the Babylonian Empire or much about their king, Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he's kind of a big deal, like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. But if you want to know more about him, I mean, Kanye wrote an opera about him. Do you know this? Kanye wrote an opera called Nebuchadnezzar. You can check it out. I don't think it talks much about what we're going to talk about, but he talks exactly about this king right here. And so King Jehoiakim, he stops these payments. He's got these payments to the Babylon. He decides, you know what? I'm done paying you guys. We don't need your help anymore. I don't need you, you know, telling me what to do. We're going to figure it out on our own. And so he stops these payments and he decides to switch them to their arch rival, to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were now supposed to be providing them this support, this military support. And the prophet Jeremiah, this coach, he's telling them, hey, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. You're going to regret that decision. You really need to backtrack. Do anything you can. Change your mind. Get those payments back to Babylon. Because Nebuchadnezzar, like he's a bad dude. You don't want to mess with him. You want to change course right now. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, he comes in. He sieges the city. Surrounds the walls. Begins to starve the inhabitants out. Eventually enters into the city. Captures the king. Takes him back to Babylon. And not only that, but he actually adds King Jehoiakim to his king collection. You know, some people collect stamps or collect coins. I mean, pretty normal thing. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he collected kings. Like all the kings that he conquered, he brought them back to his city, and he brought them out on special occasions. Like, Nebuchadnezzar was a bad dude, and Jeremiah told him, you don't want to mess with him. Change your mind, but it's too late. And so Babylon crowns Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin, to be the next king. And he's 18 years old. And you might be thinking, like, an 18-year-old king, like, it's not going to end well. And I thought the same thing. I'm reading this story, and I'm thinking back to, like, me as an 18-year-old, me as a teenager. Like, how would I do ruling a kingdom? It wouldn't go well. You see, as a teenager, I thought I knew everything. I don't need advice. I don't need this prophet coach. Like, no reason to have this guy in my corner. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so 3 months later, the same thing happens. Nebuchadnezzar, he comes back, and he takes this king, and he adds him now to his king collection. And he appoints his now uncle, Zedekiah, to become the next king of Judah. And this guy's about 21 years old. I mean, this thing, it's becoming a disaster time after time after time. We see this process of a king making a decision, his coach, his advisor, his prophet telling him, that's a bad decision, them not listening. And then, well, Nebuchadnezzar coming in and doing what he does. And Zedekiah, once his mind was made up, much like many of us, he couldn't hear. He couldn't embrace his wise counsel of the prophet. He did exactly what the kings before him had done. He refused to pay the tribute, and, well, it didn't end well for him. We'll just say that. And king after king, this happened, and you're probably sitting there, you're probably thinking, like, what's going on? What were they thinking in this moment? I mean, shouldn't they be able to look at the history, the past, and see, like, maybe I should make a different choice. Maybe I should make call an audible, go a different direction. Like, how could anybody be so clueless, so deceived? And fortunately for us, Jeremiah, who was there for this entire adventure, he answers that question for us. He explains to us why we are so prone towards self-deception. Why we're so good at selling ourselves a bad idea. And here's what he writes, Jeremiah 17. He says this, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart and my heart and her heart and his heart and the heart of these precious little children. I mean, the heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. And he chooses his adjectives carefully here. I mean, there's a difference between just being dishonest and being deceitful. Dishonesty is a lot easier to spot. And deceitfulness, it's really difficult to detect. It's why we're so convinced at times and why we're so convincing to ourselves. We don't just merely lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And here's how I think it works. I mean, I'm no psychologist, I'm no doctor of this, but here's how I think this works. When we begin to deceive ourselves, when we see these kings making these decisions, when you know it's not the decision they should make, I think what happens is we make the decision in our heart, and then we tell our brain to make it happen. And our brain is really smart, and our brains kind of jump into overdrive and begin to make this thing that we want, this choice, this decision, this idea, to not just become a want, but to really prop it up into something that you need. And once we're convinced that we need something, it's so easy to sell ourselves on it, right? And before long, we have this list of justifications. We have this list for buying it or drinking it or inviting that person in. But the reasons that we use to sell ourselves, they're not really reasons. They're actually just justifications. And in most instances, if we're just honest with ourselves, if we slow down, if we think about it just for a moment, we know it. But we fall for it anyway. I mean, we are so easily deceived by ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things. And then he says, our hearts are beyond cure. That there's no cure, that this is a permanent condition, that you don't outgrow it, you don't outmature it. You know, we're not doomed, okay? We're not really doomed, but it's a permanent condition. And it requires this constant supervision, this proactive response as to how do we take on this deceitful heart. And then Jeremiah, he wraps this whole thing up by saying something, by really describing something that I guess we've all experienced, right? He says, who can understand it? And that's a good question, right? Because I certainly don't. I don't even understand the decisions that I make at times. Who can understand it? Apparently nobody does, which explains why we've all said along the way, I don't know why I did what I just did. And this explains to each of us why we do the very thing that we advise other people not to do. It's because when we look in the mirror, that person we're staring back at is so hard to lead, unless you force them. So this week, before you make any decisions, I want to encourage you to have somewhat of like a heart-to-heart with yourself. And I think you should do it in front of a mirror. Like, I think you should actually do it in front of the mirror this week. And so when this conflict comes into your mind, whenever you're beginning to have to make a decision, I think that you should ask yourself this question out loud. And I think you should use your name. Like, Chris, are you being honest with yourself? Chris, are you being honest with yourself really? I think you should do that this week. And then just tell yourself the truth, even if you don't plan to act on it, because you owe it to yourself to just know, even if it points you in a direction that you don't intend to go. And this is where the conflict is, because we think that if we are honest with ourselves, that we're going to feel like we need to hold ourselves accountable to do what we know we ought to do. But I want to give you permission this week to not do that, to just begin by being honest with yourself. It just won't hurt you to know. And so be honest with yourself. Most people aren't. Don't be most people. Don't be most people. And so I would love to challenge you to make this decision today. I would love for you to make this decision that I will not lie to myself. I'm going to be honest with myself. And so would you ask yourself that question? Am I telling myself the truth? Or am I selling myself a regret? Am I being honest with myself really? So as we wrap this whole thing up, I'd like to get this kicked off for some of you, and I'd like to just ask a few questions. And now, most of these questions, maybe none of these questions will apply with where your life is right now. Maybe none of these questions will meet you in your current circumstances, but perhaps a couple of them will. And if nothing else, here's just an example of the kinds of things that we should begin to ask ourselves this week. You ready? You ready for this? All right. Why do you continue to go out with him, really? Why do you continue to date that person, really? Why did you file for divorce, really? Why are you taking that job, really? Why are you quitting your job, really? Why did you move in with that person, really? What's the real reason? What's the real reason that you don't call your kids? What's the real reason you don't call your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? Why won't you tell her? Why won't you tell him the truth about what's going on? I mean, it's brutal, right? It's terrifying. But it can be clarifying and ultimately liberating and hopefully empowering. And so this week, be honest with yourself. It doesn't come naturally. I mean, that's what Jeremiah is saying. But most things that are good for us, they don't, do they? And Jeremiah was right. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's beyond cure. This is a permanent condition. But at least now you know. And now you know what to do about it. And the prudent, when they see danger, when they see trouble coming up ahead, they do something. And trouble is always just one bad decision away, isn't it? And so would you decide to not lie to yourself this week? Even when the truth might make you feel bad about yourself, make the decision. I will tell myself the truth, really. Jesus himself says that knowing the truth will set us free. Maybe you've heard that before. But acknowledging what's true can be terrifying. And that's why we deceive ourselves. So is it possible that the fear of what you discover about yourself by being honest with yourself, it's the obstacle to the freedom that you desire, that the freedom that your Heavenly Father ultimately wants for you? In other words, is it possible that you're holding on to a lie right now? Perhaps a comforting lie that's holding you back from what God is inviting you into. Truth, it really will set you free. And so this week, would you face up to that terrifying but liberating truth that because on the other side of it, The other side of being honest with yourself, that's where peace is ultimately found. Now, we're going to sing a song here as we close. I want you to go ahead and stand. We're going to wrap this thing up. And I just want to read a few of these lyrics off to you. Just want to read a few of these lyrics because I want this song to be the cry of your heart this week. When maybe you feel like you just want to fall back into your old ways, you just want to lie to yourself, you just want to go the easy route this week, I want these words to come to your mind. The first words is this: I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Maybe your enemy is yourself. Maybe you're recognizing that right now. Would this song come to mind this week? I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. You might think, I just can't do this. I can't do it. I don't know how much longer I can lie to myself. It's just so much easier if I just go the old way. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Do you ever think about that? That you're not alone on this journey. That heaven itself came down in the form of a little boy born in a manger. We just talked about it. Came to fight for you. You are not alone on this journey. So would these words come to mind this week when you find yourself wanting to fall back, when you find yourself wanting to deceive that person looking back in the mirror, would these words come to mind? I'd love for us to pray as we close here. Heavenly Father, for the person who is right now in the middle of a big decision. God, I pray for that person right now that they would know in their heart that maybe they're selling themselves on an option that they might regret later. God, I pray that you would give them courage to embrace what we've talked about here today. Lord, give all of us eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and the courage to respond to it in Jesus' name.